Allora, riesci a leggere le ultime lettere in basso, quelle là piccoline con i quattro numeri?
It's just another day in the office for 59-year-old Carmine Mena, Lampedusa's optician. He's been working here quietly now for 25 years, giving sight tests to his fellow islanders and fitting them with glasses and contact lenses. He shouldn't really figure in our series about ordinary Italians affected by migration, and had he not decided to take a short sailing holiday with some friends in October 2013, you would never have heard Carmine's voice. But he did set sail. It was a lovely day, remembers Carmine. We were on the boat and we woke up early, around 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and I heard something that sounded like screaming. We weren't sure what it was, probably seagulls, we thought. At that hour in the morning, it was unlikely to think that someone was screaming. We had open sea in front of us and there wasn't a soul around, so we thought, well, it has to be birds. As he recounts his story, Carmine rubs his hands up and down the thighs of his jeans, over and over again. We went to look with the boat, he continues, and what we saw is what you see on TV. I've never seen so many people in the water. It made such an impact on us. The first thing we thought was, how on earth are we going to deal with this? There were so many of them, scores of them, too many of them. He pauses. Instinct took over. There were eight of us. We threw the rubber ring, but it was so hard to reach them. They were all scattered across 400-500 meters. When they saw the boat, they were waving, making sure we'd seen them. And there were little groups of two or three people clinging to each other, trying not to drown. I thought, how do I save them all? That was my first thought. Carmine twists the elastic top of his sock around his finger and lets it snap back. They were all alive, the ones we pulled on board. They were all alive, but they were vomiting and defecating. The men were physically at the end. They were in a terrible condition. Some of those we rescued were really at death's door.
You took 47, you saved 47.
47 persone, sì.
A customer walks into the shop and Carmine quickly becomes Lampedusa's optician again, professional and together. When we resume our conversation, however, it's clear he's been thinking of much more than the cracked lens in his customer's glasses.
Ne abbiamo salvati tutti quanti, non, cioè, da solo non avrei potuto fare niente. C'era...
All of us saved them together, he insists. Had I been alone, I couldn't have done it. But there came a point when our boat was at risk. It's built to carry 10 people, and now suddenly it had 47 on board, plus 8 of us. The boat was really at risk of sinking. We were far too low in the water. The boat was out of control, and we could have sunk there and then. Carmine and I look at each other. He knows that I know he couldn't save them all. Of course, I think about them, he says. That's the first thing that comes to mind. How many more are on board that ship that I didn't save? When we got back to port, of course, we learned just how many had been trapped below deck, women and children. 366 people drowned in the shipwreck that Carmine witnessed. It prompted the Italian government to launch its naval search and rescue mission, Mare Nostrum. Carmine catches me looking at his wife, who's been standing by the open door as we talk, clearly emotional and trying not to listen to us.
Però per noi che siamo delle persone normali.
You know, we're just ordinary people, Carmine reminds me. We're not professional lifesavers, NGOs or emergency services. We were terribly traumatized afterwards. My wife had to be hospitalized. You can't feel well after living through something like this.
Non si può stare bene a vedere una cosa del genere.
Carmine still goes out to sea. After all, he says, I'm from Lampedusa, it's in my blood. Last year, three of the Eritrean migrants he rescued, and who are now living in Sweden, returned to the island, and he took them out on a boat to the site of the shipwreck, so they could throw flowers and pray for their drowned compatriots. It could happen again, he warns. Let's hope it doesn't, because I don't want to go through that again, but I don't rule out finding myself in the same situation. When I hear on TV there's been 600, 700, 800 people drowned, the memories come flooding back. He smiles politely. I'd have preferred not to retell this story again. It's not a nice story. But we're at a point where, clearly, things have not improved. The situation is getting worse. There have been even worse tragedies. He takes off his glasses and begins to clean them. We have to look into our consciences, he says, and think about what's happening.